Now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day, also as they drank their wine at the banquet, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be done." Esther chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. This second banquet is the event, the moment, that breaks the silence. Once again, it's just the three of them, the king, the queen, and the prime minister. "What is your petition?" the king asks Esther. "What is your request?" He's already asked that two other times, when she first approached him and he held out his scepter, and then at the first banquet. But Esther never answered him because the time wasn't right. Esther had a sensitive ear, a wise heart. She sensed something wasn't quite right, so she didn't push it. She knew when to act, and she knew when to wait. Are you as sensitive as that? Do you know when to listen? Do you know when to speak up and when to keep quiet? Do you know how much to say as well as when to say it? Do you have the wisdom to hold back until the right moment? Those things make a difference, you know. Obviously, nobody bats a thousand on matters such as this. But the question is, are you sufficiently in tune with God to read His subtle signals? It's easy to jump at the first sighting of the fog's lifting. Esther, though trapped in that fog-bound silence, that little space of limited sight, had not told all that she had on her heart. The time was not right. She sensed that. Until this moment, she hadn't even told the king that she was Jewish. But now the right moment had arrived to break the silence. As Solomon once wrote, "There is a time for every event under heaven, a time to be silent and a time to speak." Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 7. Silence was once appropriate, but no longer. One wonders if Esther's heart was beating in her throat as she realized her nation's future hung in the balance of the next few words she would speak and the response of her husband, the king. Once King Ahasuerus opened the door to this third time, Esther then took courage to express her petition. Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me as my petition, and my people as my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Now, if we had only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not be commensurate with the annoyance to the king." Esther chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Talk about the power of a woman. Can you believe Esther's diplomacy and sensitivity, even in the midst of pleading for her life and the lives of her people? "If we were only to be sold into slavery, I wouldn't have troubled you with this matter. You have so many important matters to worry about, I wouldn't have bothered you, but he wants to annihilate us." Esther beautifully portrays in this moment the character qualities of greatness. Her husband is all ears. Then King Ahasuerus asked Queen Esther, "Who is he, and where is he? Who would presume to do thus?" Esther chapter 7, verse 5. At this point, I confess that my response might have been something like, "What do you mean, who is he? You were there when Haman proposed this heinous thing. You gave him your seal to sign the edict. What do you mean, who is he? Open your eyes." Thankfully, I wasn't there to blow it. We live in a world of preoccupied people. They live in a fog. Who knows how many edicts Ahasuerus signed that day? Who knows how many pressing matters of government were on his mind? The king had countless decisions to make. And Haman, who was a trusted official, had proposed it in such a way that he seemed to be solving a problem that directly affected the good of the kingdom. So the king probably signed it without giving it a great deal of attention, believing that Haman, a man he trusted, knew what he was doing. Suddenly, however, things had changed. Don't ever try to convince me that some situation in this life is absolutely permanent. God can move in the heart of a king. He can move an entire nation. He can bring down the once impenetrable iron curtain. He can change the mind of your stubborn mate. He can move in the affairs of your community. He can alter decisions of presidents and prime ministers and present-day kings and national dictators. No barrier is too high, no chasm is too wide for him, because he is not limited by space or time, by the visible or the invisible. Remember, he lives in a realm that transcends all that. He is all-powerful, and when God is ready to move, he moves. And when he does, hang on, you're in for the ride of your life. Realizing that her moment had arrived, Esther neither stammered nor hesitated. And Esther said, "A foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman." Then Haman became terrified before the king and queen. Esther chapter 7, verse 6. So Esther, clothed in strength and dignity, answers with the same kind of courage she has displayed since her decision to risk all.